Thank you for downloading this teaching from Freedom Apostolic Resources. It's part of a library that includes audio, video clips, and written resources available at freedomtrust.org.uk/AR. Now here's Mike Parsons.
Okay, well, we're going to continue this whole transformation stuff. We've got a couple of sessions maybe to do. Context of it, again, is a prophetic timetable. God is preparing us for what's coming. Now, what is coming, whether we're ready or not. So we might as well get ready. And at the moment, we're in this place where there is this whole thing of fire, the presence of God removing stumbling blocks from our lives, transforming us, so that we'll be ready when God says, this is what I want my people to be like. And when the judgment comes to God's household, we will be ready for that and ready for what comes after that, a harvest that we can equip in the ways of supernatural power to bring in an end time harvest. And the shaking of the world system, which is coming, we have to be ready for. If we're not ready for it, we'll be like everybody else, running around like headless chickens. Because it is coming. Massive shaking of all the systems of the world is coming. The wind of the Spirit is going to blow like never before. The reality is, will we be ready for that? And God is giving us great opportunity to be ready for that now. I want to read just a couple more prophetic things that I've sort of picked up. They weren't given to me, but they're prophetic words that have been brought to the body across the world. It says, your life is like a mosaic. I knit you together in the womb. However, the enemy found inroads into and through some of the cracks of your soul, and he has used your adverse circumstances to fragment your soul. He has inserted pieces of infirmity through your lost hope in areas that you have been waiting for, and has tried to fix this brokenness within you. This will hinder you from forming the new picture and vision I have for your future. I am your Abba Father. I am the one who knew you from the beginning. I know how your pieces fit together. I am the one who knew the plan and the pattern that was best for you before the foundation of the world. Although the enemy has placed other pieces within you, I am doing surgery to remove these miscoded pieces. This is a difficult time for you, for it is a season of removal and separation. Remember that I love you. My love for you will remove and replace the fragmented, war-torn pieces with my love and wisdom. So get ready. My manifold goodness and wisdom will now be seen in you in a new way. You will display to the demonic realm that has held you captive that you are a new, colorful creature filled with power and wisdom. There is a deeper oil that I'm working to bring forth within you. There is an anointing that has been placed in a deep reservoir within you. I will draw this anointing forth for the season ahead. I must go at a different angle to penetrate into you to find this oil and bring it forth. But don't be afraid of this deeper drilling. The penetrating force of my Spirit will produce a flow that will sustain you in the days ahead. Rejoice in the changes I am bringing, for they will produce great fruit in your future. Good word. And I'd encourage you to get hold of words like that and get hold of those truths and use them to sustain you. Because God is promising that though difficult times are come and that God is transforming us in those times, actually he's doing it because he loves us and because ahead of us there is so much more fruit that is to come. We've been using Romans 12:1 and 2 as the scripture to look at this whole process of transformation. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. It's up to us to present ourselves. All the circumstances of our lives give us opportunities to present ourselves so that God can change us, or they give us opportunities of hardening ourselves and defending ourselves and doing it in our own strength. If we don't want to be conformed to this world, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that God's will, his eternal destiny, can be outworked in our lives and for us. Hebrews 4:12, scripture would use the law, talking about the word of God, the living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And that's not just talking about the written word of God, it's talking about the living word of God. Jesus, the living word of God, at work through that written word. To divide and separate those things in our lives which are hindering us and holding us back. And we've looking at those three different levels of changing and division and separation between the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, thoughts and intentions of the heart. We've seen that to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, the altars are in the heavenly realms. And we have access to step into the heavenly realms, whether you can do it by seeing it and experiencing it and walking there, if some of you can, or by faith, God responds either way. Love's faith, he always responds. We can step into the realm of heaven and present ourselves before God who is there at those altars. And we've been looking that part of that process of being a living sacrifice is that we are split open to reveal the inner part, right down to the splitting down of the backbone, which opens up bone and marrow. We looked at the soul, which is the motives of the heart. We looked at trading, all of the wrong motives of trading in the world. We looked at transgression, sin, and then we're going to look at iniquity. The bone and the marrow are the source of the structure. And we're going to look at the seed line and the bloodline stuff. And we probably won't get onto the seed line thing this week, but I hope you will look at some of the bloodline things. And we've looked that as a person, when we get born again and the Spirit of God is in us, we have the situation where we have free will. We have our flesh, our body, soul, and regenerate spirit, which has free will to choose what it's going to do. And the choices that has ahead of it are a broad pathway of the knowledge of good and evil, which leads to death, and a narrow door, which leads to the pathway to the tree of life, which brings life, peace, and joy. But because of the sinful nature that's in us, and iniquity, it is like a bowling ball that's biased to do wrong. Our whole lives are biased to do wrong because we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And so those things in us, we have to deal with them, otherwise we'll continually try and go wrong. And the problem is, you roll a bowling ball, its natural thing is to turn to the left or the right, depending on which way you put the bias side. Our natural way is to turn to sin. But when we're born again, we have the Spirit of God in us. The Holy Spirit wants to direct us and lead us away from that, so that if we're not walking according to the flesh, we can walk according to the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. What happens, we deal with the sinful nature through our baptism in Christ, and we apply that every day by reckoning ourselves dead to sin and alive to Him. Denying ourselves, taking up the cross and following Him. That deals with sin, that sinful nature in us every day. Because it happened on the cross, we apply it every day. But we still have the issue of iniquity. How do we deal with iniquity? And what is iniquity? We're going to look at that today. We need to deal with it by separating from it legally, by dealing with fire and with communion, using the DNA of God. And once we remove that iniquitous pattern from our lives, we want God to be in the center. And so His presence and our spirit is what's ruling in our lives. And as a result of that, we want to remove that whole pathway so that we've only got one choice, to follow God. Because when you deal with iniquity and you deal with that sinful nature, you're going to be led by the Spirit. You're not going to struggle in the same way as you struggle now. So we have to deal with these things and deal with the iniquity that's been operating. Pattern, iniquity is the motive, which leads to sin, the desire, which leads to transgression, the result, and then it becomes a vicious circle and cycle. It goes round and round and round until we break it. So we need to deal with iniquity in our hearts. Transgression or sins can be cleansed and forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Our sin nature dies through the cross, the death of Jesus. Iniquity dealt with through judicial separation, purification by fire and blood. Exodus 34:7. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy to thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So there is hope, because it can be forgiven and dealt with, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. This is the problem. It doesn't just stay with me. If I set up patterns of sin in my life, they will be passed on to future generations if I do not repent. And if I carry that guilt with me. And some of the problems that I have in my life and you have in your lives are because of the patterns that were set up in your previous generations. When I was looking at this stuff, I asked God to show me, okay, what went on in my past generations that led me to be who I am today? And I was struggling with it, because it's like I couldn't equate, well, where am I now because of the past? And one weekend, it was sort of a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, God just took all the restraints off my life. And it was just the most horrible weekend that I've ever had. Everything, every thought, every imaginable sin, and all sorts of stuff, just overwhelming. And I was like, I cannot cope with this. And I struggled, and I struggled, and all sorts of stuff came up, and thoughts, and sin patterns, and things. And God showed me some stuff from my past, and from the generations during that weekend. I had to cry out to him and say, I can't cope. And he put back the restraint. And I asked him, what did he do that for? And he told me, because you have a strong spirit, you keep all this stuff under control. And therefore it doesn't surface very often. But when I took off the spiritual restraint, showed you what you're really like on the inside, which is not very pleasant, I have to say. It was a horrible, horrible time. But God did it, and the enemy's hand was shown. Because I saw things in my family situations, which I saw why I struggled with in my life. And it went right back into seed vine stuff, which I'll maybe share next week. But we have to look at the things and the patterns that are going on to deal with them. Transgression involves guilt. When we do wrong deliberately, we're guilty. But sin, that sinful nature, involves condemnation. Because just because you've got a sinful nature doesn't mean you necessarily sin. You have a choice. And quite often we choose not to. But it still means that even if we never sin, we carry the thing that comes through Adam, that sinful nature which separates us from God. So there's condemnation associated with it, which is separation from God. Sin leaves a reproach. There's something in us which is a source of blame, discredit, disgrace, shame, humiliation, scorn, and disapproval. We feel that way. Before we know God, that's what we walk around like. It's no wonder we struggle with who we are as our identity. Reproach works against God's favor because we do not think we're worthy of God's blessing. So we struggle with sin. We struggle with our identity, and it's like, well, I'm not worthy to be loved because of all my past and all my life. Because that stuff is on the inside. When we get born again, God wants us to know that he has dealt with the reproach of our past sin. But we have to deal with the source of it in our lives. Family curses. Sin in the past can produce family curses which carry on today. A curse, this is a definition of it, a recompense in the life of a person and their descendants as a result of iniquity which causes sorrow of heart and demonic access points into the family line. It's associated with our old identity. It's vital that we know our true eternal identity so that those curses can stop operating in us. I want to give you some indicators of curses. Curses are often chronic and not acute. What I mean by that is a chronic thing goes over and over and over. Like a chronic sickness is something which you have all the time. An acute sickness can come on and attack you and it goes again. But these are chronic indicators. Chronic financial problems. Chronic sickness and disease. Chronic female problems, including barrenness. Chronic accident proneness. Chronic marital problems. Chronic premature death. Chronic mental illness. Just a few things which I encourage you to think. Are there chronic things in my family and in my life that I need to look at? But I do not want to be under curses. because the curses were given as a result of generational sin. Exodus 24, it's the same sort of scripture talking about sin and iniquity. It says, you shall not make yourself an idol. Idolatry is one of the biggest access points into our lives and our past generations that can bring iniquity. And it basically says in verse 5, you shall not worship them or serve them, but I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third, fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. But if in our family line there is idolatry, then the result of that iniquitous pattern gets visited on us. And we need to find a way of dealing with it. Daniel 9:16. O Lord, in accordance with your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain, before, because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all around us. Our lives can be such a mess because of our own sin, but also because of our iniquitous past generation. Ezekiel 14:3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and have put them before their faces, the stumbling block of their iniquity. So when we're looking at removing stumbling blocks, iniquity is one of the big stumbling blocks that has to be removed, and it's to do with idolatry. Nehemiah 9:10-2 says, the descendants of Israel separated themselves from all the foreigners. We have to separate ourselves from all the past foreign things that have gone on in our lives and in our generational lives. And then they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Something we really, really have to deal with. Job 17:5 says, he who informs against friends for a share of the spoil, the eyes of his children also will fail. The result of something that happens in one generation can affect another. Jeremiah 31:29. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, it's the children's teeth that are set on edge. It doesn't restrict it to the past. Iniquity is generational. This is Strong's dictionary definition of it. Perversity, that is moral evil, thus sin, when repeated against the knowledge of God, becomes transgression, which if continued long enough, eventually becomes iniquity, which perverts the flesh. This perversion changes the DNA, RNA structure of the flesh, and beliefs or attitudes resulting in genetic changes that are passed on from generation to generation. This can be genetic, and this definition came out of an old book. But this can be a genetic change that takes place as a result of past sin. That's why it's so important that we apply the blood of Jesus when we break bread to that whole genetic past. The word iniquity in Hebrew is the word avon. Nothing to do with Ding Dong Avon calling. But the word Avon, three Hebrew letters. When you look at Hebrew words, Hebrew language is made up of pictures. And the pictures in the past have meanings in words now. So when you look at the Hebrew language, you can see the pictures and they give you an illustration of what it means. So the three letters are one, an eye, two, a hook, and three, fish multiplying. What on earth is that on about? Whatever the high up hooks into, multiplies. So whatever you turn and start looking into, multiplies in your life. And if your eye is drawn to things because of the past that hooks you into patterns of sin, it will multiply and overcome you, and you'll struggle with things. Iniquity, therefore, is like an inner bent that leads to a pattern of repetitive sin. Lamentations 5:7. Our fathers sinned and are no more. It is we who have borne their iniquity. Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It wasn't talking about the sexual act. It was just talking about the fact that they have a sinful nature which was operating, and because of iniquity of the past generations, see, David was shaped by the things from his past, and we'll look at that in a minute. Iniquity empowers sin, becomes transgression. Motive, that becomes a desire that produces behavior. Behaviors become generational patterns That can come through role modeling examples. So we see our father behaving a certain way and we act like him, or our mother and we act like her. Or it can be genetic corruption, which actually we've got no control over. Until we get born again, then we can apply the blood of Jesus to change that genetic material. This control mechanism shapes the desires and thoughts and intents of our life to patterns of their behaviors. And then we've seen before, trading thoughts or patterns get set up in our lives and they come out from our blood and seed lines. It's a generational deviation from God's destined pathway. God never intended it to be this way. He has an eternal destiny for us, which is not this. So therefore we need to be transformed into the image of our eternal destiny, which is the image of the glory of God, the image of Jesus, not the way we've been shaped by our past and our lives. Do our forefathers and foremothers affect us today? Yes, they do. What spiritual challenges do we face? We need to look at our lives and actually see from what we're struggling with now and what's going on now, where these things come from. What sins are we susceptible to? We carry the genetic and the memory records of all past generations. Because genetically, we're actually a product of our parents, and they're a product of their parents, and so on, all the way back. Unrepentant sin can leave a spiritual weakness towards that sin in the family line, which is what iniquity is. James 1:14 describes it. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Where does that lust come from? From iniquity. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Because the wages of sin is death. It's always going to lead to destruction, to death. Whereas God always wants to give us life in abundance and blessing. The enemy wants to rob, kill, and destroy our lives. So he uses and takes advantages of those things to bring death to us. But our inheritance is life and abundance. Some iniquitous patterns. When I was looking at this in my own life, okay, well, what iniquitous patterns did I see in my previous generations? And God showed me, have a look at your father. And I thought, I really don't want to look at him much. But I sort of thought, okay, I need to. So I looked at his life. And it showed me some patterns of things. And I looked at my life and thought, have I repeated any of those patterns? And one of the patterns that it showed me was my father committed adultery and divorced my mother. Then I thought, okay, where did that come from? So then I looked at my grandfather. And my grandfather committed adultery and divorced his wife, who was my grandmother. And I don't know beyond that because I have no connection with them, and I know nothing beyond that. But I know there's two generations of sin. It's got to stop here. I'm not going to commit adultery. So it stops for the next generation. So we have to deal with these things and these patterns so that we identify where we are so that we do not repeat mistakes of the past. Some of the patterns can be alcoholism, addictions, adultery, poverty, laziness, greed, sickness, legalism, control, promiscuity, mental illness, victimization, occultism. Just a little bit, and I'm going to be really specific in some of these, so don't get offended. Addiction, drugs, alcohol, nicotine, food, gambling, spending, exercise, can all be addictive patterns. Mental problems, anxiety, worry, depression, schizophrenia, suicide, rage. All those things can be iniquitous patterns from past generations. Sexual problems, incest, homosexuality, virginity, adultery, prostitution, compulsive masturbation, pornography, bestiality, and pedophilia. All can be iniquitous patterns from previous generations. False religion, atheism, cult, Freemasonry, religious bigotry, heresies can be passed on from one generation to another. God-hating, mockery, hard-heartedness, unbelief, desecration, heart issues, bitterness, rebellion, greed, jealousy, hatred, judgmentalism, legalism, lust, pride, laziness, stubbornness can all be passed on from generations. We can always start our own iniquitous patterns, by the way. Can't blame everything on the past. Because actually, sometimes we set our own up and find new sins to commit. But these things can be passed on. So look at your family, look at your life and see, do I struggle with any of these areas? Am I trying to rule? Because if your spirit is having to rule to keep control, it's wasting a lot of spiritual energy designed to do good things for God. Offensiveness, betrayal, fighting, murder, gossip, lying, control, prejudice, strife, stealing. Occultism, witchcraft, astrology, clairvoyance, palm reading, Ouija board, tea leaf reading, seances, psychic healing, spiritism, sorcery, superstition, tarot card, voodoo, yoga, fortune telling, alternative healing. All that stuff, there can be a drawing to things. Think of, am I drawn to things in my life? Am I drawn to certain things? Am I drawn to certain people groups? I've known people who've been drawn to American Indians and drawn to certain things. Because there are things in our past that draw us towards certain things. It's like, I had in my family life people who could read tea leaves. It's a bit weird, isn't it? Well, my auntie could do that, and she could see things. So I look, in my life, actually, you've got to be really careful that you don't have mixture. How much prophetic stuff that we see can also come from the wrong source. Because we don't want mixture, we need to be pure in heart to see God. So we need to be open to actually see, is there things in operation that we need to deal with? Biblical example, generational family iniquity. Rahab was a prostitute in Jericho who got rescued. Several generations later comes along David. What's his problem? Adultery, lust. His son, Amnon, raped his half-sister. And his other son, Solomon, bless him, had 1,000 wives and concubines. See how it got worse? And those 1,000 wives and concubines led him into idolatry and allowing false religion to be set up in Israel. In spite of all his wisdom and all that God had given him, his previous generational iniquity came out and the whole nation was divided in subsequent generations because God then didn't allow his son to rule the whole nation and become a divided nation. We have to be careful about these iniquitous things. Any generation that reinforces the pattern strengthens it for future generations. People groups, cities, regions can be affected by iniquity. In Genesis 9:24, the situation was Noah after the ark. Eight of them came out of the ark, planted a vineyard, and got drunk on some of the grapes. And in verse 24 it says, when Noah woke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. So he said, cursed be Canaan. Canaan was Ham's son. So he cursed the future line because of the sexual immorality that took place in his tent while he was drunk. If you read the Hebrew, you'll understand what that sexual immorality was. As a result of that, sexual sin and perversity went in that family line. That family line of Ham to Canaan went to the 11 nations of the whole area of Palestine, resulting in Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities which were so sinful in sexual perversity that God poured down fire from heaven and destroyed them. They even wanted to have sex with angels. Funny that. What they did before the flood. See, perversity goes in family lines. Therefore, we have to deal with it, and whole nations can be affected by it. That is why God destroyed those nations. It wasn't because they had bad things about them. They were genetically and morally impure and perverse. And they needed to be dealt with. That's why when they took the promised land, they were told not to allow any of those nations to stay there anymore. Our promised land of our inheritance, we have to get rid of all the influences of those things from our lives. And we'll look at that a little bit more detail next week. Matthew 27:25, just as you think, well, that was in the New Testament, Old Testament. This is a result of putting Jesus on the cross. All the people said, his blood shall be on us and our children. They understood what was going on. That's a terrible thing that they did, knowing the consequences for their children. But they did it all the same. Isaiah 14:21. Prepare for his son a place of slaughter because of the iniquity of the fathers. They must not arise and take possession of the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. That is why God destroyed that whole area of sin in those eight nations, because they would rise up and cover the earth in sin and perversity. Job 4:8 says, according to what I have seen, those who plough iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. Curses operate through the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow, you will reap, unless you deal with and repent of what's sown. If we step out of covenant protection, we're open for those curses to act as a result of what happened to iniquity. Okay, what's the remedy? The remedy for transgression, sin, and iniquity, Hebrews 9:22. All things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the power of the cross and what Jesus did on the cross for us, there is no remedy for sin, transgression, and iniquity. But because he died for us, there is now a remedy. We can apply the life and death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus to our lives and be free from these things. Confession deals with transgression. 1 John 1:9. Daily living sacrifice as a presentation of our life deals with the sin nature. Applying the blood through communion deals with genetic iniquity. Hebrews 9:14. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We can be cleansed from the things that happen in our past. Isaiah 53 is a scripture that talks about the death of Jesus. It's a prophetic scripture. Surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall on him. He will justify many as he will bear their iniquities. Jesus took it all on the cross. We have to apply the power of the cross to our lives today. The power of that death brings life to us. In exchange, everything that was in that old covenant can be exchanged for what's in the new covenant, life. Isaiah 6 talks about the year of King Uzziah and Isaiah going into the temple in heaven. And there you saw the seraphim with all their wings and all that stuff. Now it says this in verse 4, the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined. You get in the presence of God's glory and all this stuff suddenly comes out. You know, when we're saying, show us your glory, it's a really dangerous thing to pray. Because when God's glory comes and the light of the fiery presence, we feel, I am undone. I am ruined. Woe is me. And the word woe talks about covenant judgment. And there's Isaiah in the presence of God. And all of a sudden, all he sees is, woe, look at me. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. But there was a way out. Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he'd taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. We need to engage in the temple of God with the fiery altar and with the seraphim. Matthew 13:41 describes this. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling and those who do iniquity. Angels are being released to remove from us those things that cause us to stumble and cause iniquity, or they will remove us. That's what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They didn't seem to do such a bad thing, and yet they dropped down dead. And it brought the fear of God on the church. That will return. So let's get ready so that we do not drop down dead. The seraphim are waiting to be released. Engage with God in his temple. Be purged of sin and have our iniquity removed. What do? We repent of our individual sins. Identify family iniquity. Forgive our forefathers. Renounce the patterns of iniquity. Use the courts in heaven. Apply kingdom justice and get a divorce from that iniquitous pattern of behavior. Apply the blood of Jesus in communion. That's how you deal with it. So, let's just pray a prayer. If you want to pray this prayer, we're going to step into those courts, and I want to give you an example of a prayer that you can pray to separate yourself from this stuff in the past so that we can be free from it all, so that we can have in our life the abundant overflow of God's life and provision and blessing because of all the stumbling blocks that from the past are removed. I know this is a heavy thing, but it is a heavy thing because God wants to deal with this stuff in us. He wants us to be honest about ourselves, honest about where we come from, and then honest about where we're going. Because our future is much better than our past. Much better. But only better if we deal with our past and allow God to purify, refine it, and purify it so we can move forward. So if you want to stand, take a stand, find a place where you can take a step forward so we can step into that realm of heaven. If you can't see it, and if you aren't able to do that in the realm of the Spirit, you can do it by faith. God responds to that. So let's pray this prayer together. I will try and remain slow in saying it, okay? Father, I thank you that you love me, and your kingdom is based on righteousness and justice. By faith, I step into the court of accusation. I face my accusers. I accept and agree that I have iniquity operating within me. I accept that I have followed the pathway of the knowledge of good and evil. I accept that I have been influenced and motivated by earthly, natural, and demonic wisdom. I stand here representing myself and my forefathers, identifying with them. I repent of and renounce all iniquitous patterns for myself and my forefathers. I receive the judgment of God and become justified, made righteous through my advocate Jesus. I release the judgment of God against my adversaries and accusers. I ask you to release the seraphim to bring the fiery coals from the altar and apply them to my life. Purge me from sin and remove all family curses and iniquity from me. I receive a mandate to be separated from all iniquitous, repetitive, sinful patterns of behavior. I step back into this realm with the authority to identify, reject, and overcome all iniquitous behavior. I choose to be identified as your son, walking in the light, following heavenly wisdom on earth. I choose to manifest heaven on earth through my life as a child of God. Amen? Now I encourage you, apply that to each area God shows you. Each iniquitous pattern, be specific and deal with it so that we can be set free and filled with the power and the presence and the wisdom of God. Okay?
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R, where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.